From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Under a lonely patch of tundra in southwestern Alaska, billions of dollars in copper and gold are just waiting to be dug up. It's the site of the proposed Pebble Mine, potentially the richest of its kind in the world. But the prospect of an open-pit mine in the Alaskan wilderness has sparked outrage and anti-mine ads like this one.
The gold mining companies take and take and take.
But what do they leave behind?
They poison our water, our land.
The mining company, Canadian-based Northern Dynasty Minerals, has responded with videos of its own.
The Pebble Project. Alaska's project, Alaska's opportunity.
It's a statewide controversy threatening to go national. But as NPR's Martin Costi reports, the mine's future may depend on a handful of local Native leaders.
Alaska messes with your sense of scale. You don't really understand the enormity of the place until it gets dark. Bob Clough is standing in a pre-dawn windstorm waiting for his helicopters. He's site manager here for Northern Dynasty Minerals, the company that's developing the Pebble Mine site.
It's about 18 miles to the northwest of where we're standing here right now.
He's waiting for the drill operators who've been out on the tundra all night long taking mineral samples. Shotgun-toting guards have been with them too, watching their backs for brown bears. There's nothing else out there. No structures, no cars, no roads.
Access right now is by helicopter.
So everything has to go by air, down to the last screw?
Everything. Even their bottle of water that they take out to drink on site.
Just as the sun comes up, the helicopters arrive, all seven of them.
We got the A-Star, we got the 500D, there's the 205, and he will be landing over on that pad over there.
It's a lot of activity for a place that's usually very quiet. Lake Iliamna, 1,000 square miles of pure freshwater that's ringed by a handful of native villages. The main business around here used to be hunting and fishing, but now the hunting lodges are starting to fill up with mining company workers. Some natives, like Rick Del Kitty, don't like the disruption. Sitting in his boat, he points at a flash of red in the water.
In Dinaena, we call that noodlevike.
Noodlevike?
Noodlevike. Fall fish. They have green heads and red bodies.
Oh, they change their markings?
Change color. Oh. From silver to red.
That salmon is just one of the 40 million sockeye that swam up into this region's rivers this year to spawn. Southwestern Alaska has the largest wild sockeye runs in the world, a torrent of salmon that sustains an entire fishing industry down on Bristol Bay. If you ate wild salmon last night, chances are it came from around here. But in native villages like Nondalton, the locals eat salmon and wild game every night. If you have any doubt that Rick Del Kitty lives off the land, just take a look in his freezer.
Well, you have some blueberries, you got some cranberries, sockeye. This is king salmon.
Some of the freezer bags are marked BB for black bear, or MM, that's moose meat. Del Kitty's wife, Nancy, is a big believer in clear labeling.
I learned that after my sister visited us for a while. And I told her to make moose soup, and she ended up making beaver soup.
Del Kitty relies on an abundant supply of fish and game, and he's afraid of any environmental contamination, even from a mine 12 miles away. His big concern, which is shared by the fishing industry, is water quality. Environmentalists in Anchorage believe the mine will inevitably leak acids and trace metals into the salmon streams that feed Bristol Bay. In the nearby village of Iliamna, Northern Dynasty is building up its base of operations. The company says it knows how to keep the mining pollution safely sealed up behind earthen dams and out of streams. Around here, at least, the natives seem willing to give the mine a chance.
Well, it's probably a good thing for the work, long as it's done environmental safe.
Harvey Anilan is the president of the village council. He's a big man, physically and politically. Locals say that around here, whatever Harvey says goes. He's also president of the Natives For-Profit Corporation, which just started a subsidiary to provide services to Northern Dynasty.
While there's money to be made, you have to. You know, if you're a profit-making corporation, you're sitting back and not doing nothing, you're going to hurt yourself.
The mining company needs to stay on the good side of people like Harvey and Nealon, especially once it comes time to build the mine's access road across Native-owned land. Some say things are getting too cozy. A state legislator recently accused the company of bribing Native leaders. And Nealon has heard the charges.
Yeah, I wish I had some of that money, I heard. I heard it was a lot. And I ain't seen any of that money yet.
At the Northern Dynasty offices in Vancouver, Canada, spokesman Sean McGee rejects those bribery charges.
I have to tell you, it's frustrating that hiring local people and having commercial contracts with local businesses would be considered somehow wrong.
McGee points out that the opposition is also well-funded. Outsiders have paid for anti-mine TV ads, and they've flown locals like Rick Delkitty to public hearings. The company's response, McGee says, is to try to give people a sense of scale.
Our project would have a footprint of about 15 square miles, we think, give or take. That represents about 0.04% of the land base in this region.
In exchange, McGee says, the mine offers this cash-poor wilderness $5 billion in capital investments and 1,000 jobs paying an average of $80,000. It is all about scale. Southwestern Alaska is the world's biggest source of wild sockeye, but the mine could be an 80-year source of gold and copper, perfectly timed for China's economic boom. Even though the mine has not even been approved yet, the tiny general store in Iliamna is already selling custom-made Pebble Mine sweatshirts. Martin Costi, NPR News.